Welcome to another Principle of Hospitality podcast. I'm your host, as always, Sean DeVries. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now, food brings people together and promotes community. And at Principle of Hospitality, we are here to disrupt current perceptions of what the hospitality can achieve in today's ever-evolving and challenging environment. So that's why we're so proud to partner with Chef's Hat, the largest family-owned and operated hospitality supplier in Australia, on this season of Poe. Now, in today's podcast, we talk to Gippsland Jersey, who does things differently, sourcing milk from smaller family farms with incredible dairy farmers paying a fair price for what they produce. By bystepping large milk producers and value-adding already premium Jersey local milk, they ensure a healthy wage for farmers and a clear choice for consumers, which is great news for everyone. Of recent time, the quality and service has also been noticed by some of the best hospitality venues, including Gimlet, Three Blue Ducks, and Attica. So it's an honour to talk to their co-founder and director, Sally Jones. Hey, Sally. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Sean.
Now, we often are in people's venues, so you can often hear the clanging of different things in the background. But this is on a different level. We are here in Gippsland, Victoria. We are here in Kevin's farm, about an hour and a half away from Melbourne. And it's such a privilege to be here with one of your local farmers to talk about this amazing product. But let's talk about, you know, as we do on the start of the podcast, how you actually started out, how Gippsland Jersey actually started.
Oh, that's a big story. How long have we got?
A long time.
Okay. I'll just need to get a box of tissues for the smoke that's going into my eyes. I think it's important to set the scene for
you. Oh, we've got a bonfire, we've got kids, we've got dogs, we've got Kev. I mean, this is fantastic. Thermos of coffee, scones. It's awesome.
Yeah. Look, I grew up on a dairy farm in Lakes Entrance, right, in a setting that's probably, you know, a house and a front yard that looks very familiar.
Yes.
As to what we're sitting here now.
Yes.
And my dad was a second generation dairy farmer, and he got fed up with being told what he was going to get paid for his milk.
Yeah, right.
And he was working off farm to supplement the farm's income. Mm-hmm. So when he got injured and was forced into bed for 3 months, he was reading the Weekly Times and saw an advert for an ice cream churn.
Right.
And he thought, you know what? I'm going to buy that as a dairy farmer. Mm-hmm. And he did. And he leased a shop in Lakes Entrance opposite the footbridge. Mm-hmm. This is in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And they opened an ice cream shop.
Right.
So using all of our milk and cream and just churned it into ice cream.
Wow.
So that's, I guess, my upbringing. I was milking cows or making ice cream or serving it.
Yes.
So it's been the full loop. And fast forward, and obviously life takes us down different journeys. And my dad tragically died by taking his own life because of really, you know, bad mental health.
Wow. Sorry.
5 years ago. And a few weeks after that, the dairy crisis happened.
Right.
And I co-founded the Warrigal Farmers Market. Right. And people were inundating our social media page asking, what milk should we buy? Yeah. We want to support local. We want to make sure that the farmers are being looked after. Mm. And Australia really woke up in that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had conversations with my friend Steve Reynolds, who was a dairy farmer in Jindavik, who was on his own journey, and he was wanting to value add to his milk.
Yep.
And we had this conversation, and it was in June 2016 at the farmers market that we made the decision. And I still remember that time when I went, yes, we are going to do this.
Yep.
And it was like stepping off the cliff, because once you've decided to bungee jump, there's no stopping.
No, just keep going.
So that was a really intense time, because obviously I was very fueled with grief and wanting to channel that into something positive in, you know, I guess, creating a legacy for my dad because he was such a pioneer in that space and, you know, really stood up for what was right.
Yes.
And I know that if he was alive and in a great frame of mind, he would have absolutely been riled to know what had happened in the dairy industry in 2016 mm-hmm. with basically the rug being pulled out from underneath farmers.
Yes.
So he hated injustice, and I guess that probably is within my DNA as well.
Yeah, of course.
So it's been such a journey, and that resulted us in creating a brand called Gippsland Jersey, which has three pillars. One, that farmers must be paid a fair price. The second one is a commitment to creating social change in mental health, especially in men in rural areas.
Interesting.
And the third one is kindness.
What was the reason for the third one? Like, I can understand the two first ones, like, and gratitude to you for those. But like, what made you think kindness rather than anything else?
Kindness, because I'd just come through a stage where it was a really tough time for our family. Like, we journeyed for 3 intense years with my dad battling with mental health, and whenever someone showed kindness, it stood out and made you feel like you were seen, you were heard. And I know how much, you know, just the smallest act of kindness can change anyone's day. And I think that is something that we should all live by. You know, within business, we can choose how we respond.
Mm.
You know, if we just, you know, I guess we just have to be mindful of checking ourselves, because you don't know where someone's at in life.
Yeah. Especially when you're dealing with so many people who are farmers, and as I said to Kev, and we'll get him on the podcast shortly, like when I was growing up in a fruit orchard with my family and stuff like that, and going there, you know, so many times in every school holidays and every Easter holidays and that kind of stuff, like, I know what kind of people, especially male farmers, are. Like, they keep things very close to them. Like, how have you been able to sort of open up that conversation around mental health and around especially men looking after themselves in this industry?
Well, I speak from a lived experience with journeying my dad, and I have, I guess, some credibility from riding on the back of his coattails.
Yes.
Sorry, I am crying, but I'm not sure if it's the smoke or the emotions.
Yeah.
But I remember when I first spoke out about it, and because suicide, to speak the word suicide, is very confronting.
Yes.
And in the few days after he died, I remember going to see the pastor of a church, and he said to me, "Sally, there is no shame in your dad's death." And those words seriously just, like, freed me to speak about it. And I thought, and knowing what had happened in the dairy crisis, like, it triggered me, because there was other farmers taking their own lives.
Yes.
And it's like, we have a pandemic within men in rural areas taking their lives. And I have a lived experience and some understanding. Maybe I can create some change with that. And I have a brand that can leverage it. So within our brand, we have created a calendar. It's very industry specific, region specific.
Mm-hmm.
And it shares 12 dairy farmers' stories every year of their story.
Mm-hmm.
And for men especially, putting themselves out there, it's an absolute honour that they trust me enough to share that. And by them sharing their stories, it's created a ripple effect. And at one farmer in particular, Joe Maghetto, he says that because of the platform of the calendar and him being encouraged to share his story, he's saved 5 lives.
Wow.
So you can never – I don't know, you know, there's a lot of mental health services out there doing – some really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a qualified person. I'm just somebody that has gone through this stage, understanding, I guess, the farmer mentality, and to go, maybe, you know, we can create change, and no lives should be lost. You know, I believe that obviously finance stuff can trigger a lot of mental health and pressure for men. It's a pride thing. It's an ego thing.
Yep.
So how about, as a milk company, we just pay farmers a little bit more mm-hmm. so that they're financially okay.
Yes.
You know, that might actually just alleviate some of that mental health. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. Mm. In the first couple of years of operation, like, was it hard to sort of break out from what is a really tight market in regards to the milk industry, especially? Like, was it hard to break through and get people to try the product and get farmers on board in order to supply to you? Or did you find it easy because you had those three pillars in order for what you were actually standing for?
On the first day that we launched, we didn't have necessarily a solid business plan or strategy, mm-hmm. but all we knew is that in order for us to process, which we had externally done at that stage, we had to send 5,000 litres off.
Right, right.
We didn't necessarily have a market to place that 5,000 litres.
Right.
We had a few beautiful, you know, local IGAs that said, you know what, yeah, we'll take a couple of boxes.
Yeah.
A couple of boxes is like, you know, 20 or 30 litres.
Yes.
So we rolled into the Warragul Farmers Market, and that's mm-hmm. why farmers markets are amazing to test concepts.
Interesting.
You know, they're low cost. It doesn't cost, you know, anything to be there.
Yep.
And you, if it's going to work, that's great. But if you're going to fail, you fail fast.
Right. Because you're getting real-time feedback?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. So we launched and obviously used social media. We didn't have any money.
Yep.
So we just leveraged social media. And we sold 2,000 litres of milk on that day at the market.
Wow.
And people showed up and queued, and it was like, oh, I think people might support this. Oh, wow. Okay, great. And then that just gave a little bit of confidence every week. And then, you know, it just has evolved from mm-hmm. that day mm-hmm. in September. It was 3 months in. We created a brand in 3 months. Boom. Wow. We're in the bottle.
Yeah.
And then, look, it's been a crazy journey. The processor that we're using gave us 4 weeks notice and said, you're out of here.
Why is that?
He got bought out by a big by a big company
yep.
and money talks. And so, you know, you're just a little yep. player, mm-hmm. out you go. Mm-hmm. But we thought, oh, that's okay, cool. Well, not, it wasn't okay. We were
yep.
dying, but we thought, all right, we'll be able to quickly find someone to do this for us. But mm-hmm. no, it wasn't. Mm. So we spent a couple of weeks just on the phone with a big piece of butcher's paper going through all of our options and one by one crossing them off. The very last option on that butcher's paper was Lakes Entrance in the factory that my dad had built in the 80s. And wow. It's 4 hours from Melbourne, 4 hours east yeah. of Melbourne. It's yeah. in the middle of nowhere. So I remember being in this place and I said to Steve, well, Lakes Entrance is the only option we have.
Right.
And he's like looking at me going, okay. Right. I always wanted to live by the sea. And we had to crowdfund. We had no money. We had no credit rating at the bank. So we raised $110,000 by people pre-purchasing bottles of milk.
Mm.
It was crazy.
Wow. Pre-purchasing bottles of milk.
They
wow.
backed us. People,
wow. That's
people
incredible.
Backed us.
Yes.
And it is the most incredibly humbling thing that has ever happened to me in my life. And I think Steve would probably say the same thing,
yeah.
that people believed in us. You know, some put 10 bucks in, some put $1,000 in, you know, like, it's just, we wouldn't have been able to do the factory without it. So then yeah. Steve did, he packed up his family, he moved to Lakes Entrance. It was very lonely. It was a dilapidated sort of factory. There was horses kind of living in there at that stage. And once again, the generosity and kindness of people, you know, just showed up. People just showed up at certain times and said, oh, I can do this or I can do that. And, oh, gosh, it's just, yeah, it gives me goosebumps to remind me of how all this started. And for me, it was the full circle of me coming home and honouring the work that my dad and my pop had done. My pop had cleared the land. So, yeah, and it's rebirthed our farm and our, you know, our family, and has just given it new energy in mm-hmm. a space that was quite sad.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Kind of almost come full circle in a way. It's like, yeah, it's like it was definitely meant to be, right?
Yeah, so we're back and we're now processing. We have full control of the system. So yep. It's wonderful, and we have amazing farmers supplying us, and we have this desire to want to grow our brand and sell as much milk as we can so that we can bring on more farmers,
yes.
that they can be paid a fair price, that their farms can be sustainable into the future, and that their kids and their kids might continue farming and doing what they love.
Yeah.
Because in Australia and in Gippsland specifically, dairy farming is milk, dairy is worth $3 billion to our local economy out of a $7 billion food and fibre sector.
God, so it's nearly half.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but we don't really put much emphasis on it. No. In Gippsland, there is no value adding, you know, much.
Yep. Yep.
We're the only white milk processors and we're only, you know, a pimple on the bum compared to what milk is consumed within Australia.
Yes.
So we see lots of opportunity. We are very, you know, I guess excited to see where this might take us. You know, our little factory in Lakes Entrance, we estimate that we'll probably outgrow that space at some stage. So we're sort of going through all those growing pains right now to say, what does that look like and how do we plan for the future?
Yeah. Can I ask we'll get Kevin on in a minute, but like I was talking with him about why Jersey cows, right? Like why did you decide on Jersey cows for the milk rather than any other cow?
For me, it stems back because my dad always said that he won all the awards for his ice cream because of the Jersey cream and the milk.
Right.
He said, you know, it was the best. Mm-hmm. You can't get better dairy than Jersey. It's high fat, high protein, tastes delicious. Mm. The milk's full.
Yes.
You know, it's creamy.
Yeah.
And just performs beautifully. So I guess I grew up in that. And I wasn't like, oh, it has to be Jersey, but Steve's a Jersey farmer. His family and, you know, his fourth generation Jersey farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're beautiful cows. They've got, you know, long eyelashes and big brown eyes. Who doesn't love them?
Sorry, that was hilarious. No, I did. Like, when I was around here this morning, like, just looking at cows, I was just like, wow, they're really kind of angelic in a way.
Yeah.
I know that's probably a city boy saying something stupid to a country person, but, like it's quite interesting. Kev, do you mind if I bring you in, if that's okay? So Kev, we're obviously here at your beautiful farm. Why did you start, what was your journey? Like, why did you start farming for?
For me, my grandparents did it.
Right.
For many, many, many years.
Yep.
I went away from it and then I've come back to it.
Okay. How long did you go away for?
I would have had probably 4 years off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Went and did a turf apprenticeship.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then got sick of the normal hour jobs.
Right.
Really.
Yeah, fair enough. You had a calling to be up at 5 o'clock every day.
Yeah.
In a weird kind of way. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
And just... yeah, got back into milking cows and just fell in love with it again. So
yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. So how long's that been since you've been back?
14 years now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And what's that journey been like as a milk producer and obviously this association now with Gippsland Jersey, like it's been pretty recent off here, but like what's it been like?
look, it's had big ups and downs.
Okay.
Start off at a traineeship and did all those yards, working for other farms and other people. And
yes.
Learn a lot of different ways and seen a lot of different places. And now on the Wash family farm, which, hopefully we can continue on.
Yep, yep.
For another long time.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, look, it has its pros and cons.
Yep.
It's 7 days a week.
Mm.
Hard
to get a break.
Yeah, we don't employ anyone. It's just me, the wife.
Yes.
Three kids.
Yep.
And then her grandparents.
Yep.
Who are in their late 80s.
Yep.
And we look after them as well. So
it's
full on.
Mm.
But it's a lifestyle, like. I'm home at 11 o'clock during the day. I'm home at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I can do a school run every day.
Yeah.
The kids come up to the dairy.
Yeah.
the kids feed the calves. You know, so they're the big pros of it, which
yeah,
you know, we probably take for granted, but
yeah,
it is good.
What do you now enjoy about this relationship with, you know, with Sally and with Gippsland Jersey? Like, what do you get out of it that maybe might have been a challenge of, you know, the last little bit of your career?
The small local company.
Yep.
Everything's local, right? Now we see our milk on the shelf.
Yes.
We never used to.
Interesting.
So that's a pretty proud thing.
Yeah.
To know that, you know, the kids' parents at the local primary school, they're buying our bottles of milk now.
Yes.
Because they know we're supplying the local company.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a company that, I guess, puts a lot back into the community and helps.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's a proud thing.
Yeah.
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 So it's, that sort of, it's amazing.
Did you think, obviously, I feel like that was a real need for the community as well, for someone like, you know, for Gippsland Jersey and Sally to do the kind of initiatives that, you know, she's talking about mental health and those kind of important things. Like, did you see that as a need yourself from a day-to-day basis?
Oh,
people you talk to and stuff?
Look, definitely, you know, like we went through that dairy crisis with the clawback and all that stuff with who we were supplying at the time.
Yes.
And, you know, there's been a lot of times that I've sat down at a table with the wife and I've just said, look, this is it, we're pulling the pin, I can't do it anymore. I've had enough.
So what's made you keep going?
The kids.
Interesting. And you got beautiful kids. I've met them all today. Like, do you, when you said you love them feeding the calves and that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Is that because you want them, you think they're getting something from that they wouldn't if you weren't doing this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's stuff they pick up with what we do that they wouldn't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like, they understand as bad as it is, they understand life and death now. Like, they've seen sick calves, they've seen us.
Sure.
They've seen the bad side
of
it all, and they understand.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they've seen us struggle at home.
Yeah, they know what challenge is, right?
Yeah, but then, you know, they get the good side. School holidays, they're in a tractor with me.
Yes.
You know, they're bailing soil, they're mowing grass.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're milking cows.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
I can see it in your son.
Yeah.
Like, it was amazing when your son was around before and, you know, only been here an hour or so. And just the way he would looked at me and smiled.
Yeah.
You know, to a stranger. Like, you wouldn't, like, it was so honest and nice. Like, you've just got such an honest and nice place.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. It really is amazing.
Yeah.
Very fortunate.
What do you wish that consumers realised about the milk industry for, you know, probably a large majority of, you know, milk that is sold in Australia against something like Gippsland Jersey? Like, I imagine it must be just a really big challenge to really be profitable in the milk industry these days.
Yeah, look, there was a thing said a few decades ago now where the mindset, I think, was get big or get out.
Yeah.
You know, really big farms. You need to be a big farm to make things work. And I think the little family farm, for that to be profitable now, I think you've got to be a lot more on the ball.
Interesting.
I could be wrong, but I think costs are going up so much.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we still do things in comparison to a big bloke the same.
Yep, yep.
We still farm the same amount of cows per hectare as the big bloke does.
Yeah, sure.
But in return, our profit is probably a lot smaller because we're a smaller farm.
Right, okay. So, I see. You haven't got the economies of scale that a big supply would. Yeah, okay.
You know, we still pay the same price for tractors.
That's a great point. And
balers. And
feed and all that kind of stuff.
And feed, except...
Yeah,
we don't have the cow numbers.
Mm.
Which, well, that could be our choice to farm where we are, but, you know, I like it in this spot where we're really landlocked.
Yep.
We can't grow anymore.
Right, okay.
That's it. But we choose to make this work.
Yeah. Would you want to grow more?
No, way.
Because then it'd be more people and potentially more stress and that kind of stuff.
I've milked 600 cows before.
Wow.
Oh, I look.
That's a lot of cows.
To be honest, I wouldn't want to do it again. I like our little farm.
Yeah.
I've got no employees to worry about.
Yep.
You're
growing your own employees.
Yeah. And hopefully down the track, if we can buy this family farm, then we can leave it to them.
Yeah.
And they can keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, 100% understand.
That is where we the ultimate thing.
Yeah. What are you excited about, you know, obviously starting the process with being a supplier to Gippsland Jersey? What are you excited about with regards with the future and working with someone like Sally?
Just, obviously they pay a really fair price. They look after the farmers.
Yes.
Which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I can't put words to that.
Mm.
I think that there's so much more behind just that fair price that they do.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, means so much more.
Yeah.
That, I don't know how you put it in words. I really don't. But like, if everything is local, all our work, we support, it helps us, like we support all the other local parts that are involved.
Yes, yeah.
You know, from the cardboard boxes and, the simple true. Little things. Like,
yeah, just goes down the line, right? Yeah.
I don't know if many people think about that sort of stuff, but, you know, in return, like we're helping out those people and the next people down the line and, all the workers at Lakes Entrance and that flow on effect of keeping everything rural and local is the
important.
Big driver behind it. Yeah.
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 I imagine I hope it allows you to sleep a bit better at night as well.
Oh, look,
knowing you're dealing with someone who's so good like this.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Like they are and they are amazing people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really obvious.
It really is like this is an opportunity that we never thought would happen.
Yeah,
it was the last thing on our mind.
Yeah,
when we started milking these Jersey cows was that we would supply.
Yeah,
such an amazing company.
Yeah, right. How did it come about? Did they contact you or did?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Steve called in back in March. I got a message off him.
Right.
And it's all just gone from there.
Right.
It's
that's pretty quick as a relationship, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, from March to now, we're recording in July. Yep. I mean, you know, that's a short time to start a deal.
Oh, look, it's happened so quick.
Yes.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
At how quick this has all changed.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, is there anything you would want, finally I'll ask you, Kev, like, is there anything else you'd want, you know, city folk to know about supply chain and what, you know, families like you go through in order to bring amazing quality produce on people's plates every day?
What? I wouldn't even know how to be sort of stuff. I guess, like, the hard work and the passion we put into what goes on and...
Yep.
you know, I, it's a proud thing to send what we try to do is send the best quality product out to people to,
yeah,
you know, so people can enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there's, for us, there's nothing better than, you know, someone's coming up and saying, oh, geez, we bought your milk and it's amazing.
Yeah. Must make you feel really proud.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it really is. Because it's like, yeah.
Because what you do.
It's what we do. So it's what we live for.
Yeah.
Or just to,
yeah,
just to help feed, yep, everybody, really. It's what we do.
Thank you, Kev. I appreciate it. So. Sally, do you want to come back if that's okay? Thank you, Kevin. Mm. I suppose to sort of round out, I want to talk about, you know, what the challenges were from last year from your standpoint, being a supplier during, you know, during an epidemic. And then I'd love to have a talk about, you know, obviously we heard from one of, you know, the most compassionate dairy farmers I've met for quite a long time. But largely your team, like how you're building your team moving forward. But like in regards to the challenges of last year, like what were they from a supply standpoint?
When I guess we're not new to adversity. We've done a few adversities in our lives, and especially just we now, you know, little brand that's only been around a short time.
Mm-hmm.
So we always see adversity as opportunity.
Mm.
And, you know, we never threw, you know, thought, oh, geez, you know, we've lost all our cafes because they've shut and we've,
yeah,
you know, we've lost this opportunity and that's on hold and all that kind of stuff. Like, so I guess what we did go is, right, how are we going to deal with this? And it's mindset, right? We always get to choose how we respond to situations.
Yes.
And we thought, well, we were just about to launch our butter, actually.
Right.
So we had the bushfires. We're about to open up the factory in Lakes Entrance. And yes, the bushfires were on our back door.
Mm.
And we'd employed a factory, you know, manager and production manager. So he was on the books. We'd put bank loans on stainless steel. And so everything's sitting there waiting, and we'd sort of budgeted for this start date on the 3rd of January, and the bushfires came through, but they wouldn't send the auditor down to sign us off because, mm-hmm, of what was happening with that crisis.
Far out.
So we were all, you know, delayed. Anyway, by the time we got the factory open, we're like, right, we need to value add because there's not a lot of margin in white milk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we wholesale out for $3.99 for 2 litres of milk.
Right.
So everyone's on the same price. So awesome. If you're a cafe, you're a supermarket, a milk bar, whatever, it's just a fair price, right?
Yep, yep.
Very transparent with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we're going to launch the butter because, you know, it's a good value add. With the there's a lot of cream in Jersey. So yes, we... And then the pandemic hit, and so sort of put the halt on the launches because we're going to go into store and sample, mm-hmm, and gee everyone up and got to taste it.
Yes.
But we couldn't. And then an opportunity came through Visit Victoria,
mm-hmm,
with their Click for Vic campaign.
Yep.
So we went pretty hard on that, and yeah, we were featured with that. So,
awesome.
It was amazing because, you know, we didn't know, but yeah, having an online platform now, we have to, you know, the whole trend word pivot your business.
Yes, yep.
Like how you ever... you know, sell dairy on a website, but
it worked,
and it sort of got us through. And we got on the back of home delivery, and it was at the end of the day, I think what helps anyone survive is your network.
Mm.
And the fact that, you know, yes, we're rural, yes, we probably don't know a lot of people, but when we do go out and about, we love to connect with people and I guess have really meaningful relationships. So it, you know, and then just one door opens another door, and people, like so many good people in our camp.
Yes.
And just opportunities. So then we use social media in that time because, mm-hmm, you can't go out visiting and to, yep, say to these chefs, oh, please sample. But We were on Instagram and we were able to be connected, I guess, like a LinkedIn version of, and all these chefs were sitting at home, and so we were able to chat to them and just send them boxes of produce to try in their leisure, in their kitchen, at home, which they probably wouldn't have had. So it's a blessing in disguise.
True, very true.
And in that time we spoke to, connected with Martin Bren, who's a chef at the new restaurant called Society. And he just said, wow, your timing couldn't have been more perfect. I'm looking for a dairy supplier.
Wow. There you go.
And that's been great. You know, I was a little bit bowled over when I went into that restaurant. It is so luxe and amazing.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah, it's incredible. So we're feeling very privileged to be a supplier.
Mm.
And, you know, that wouldn't have happened without the pandemic.
Yeah.
So
it's
we just see it as an opportunities.
Mm. Yeah. Because when I spoke to you the other week on the phone, like, I think you were telling me a story about meeting Andrew McConnell maybe in Gimlet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and just trying some butter, right, when he was there in person?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, as I said to you, I don't get out and about that much, and I don't know who everyone is in the zoo when it comes to famous chefs.
Yes.
And I was out with Simon Friend, who is Simon Friend and Burrell, and they sell truffles and vanilla beans and saffron.
Mm.
And anyway, he said to me, come and spend a day with me. We'll backdoor it into all of these top restaurants, because he's built his network over 20 years, you know, selling truffles.
Mm.
So Simon's from Lakes Entrance and sort of had this relationship unbeknownst to me, but grew up on my family farm.
Mm.
And I'm so grateful to Simon, because he did. He took me under the wing, and we were going into Guy Grossi's restaurant and, you know, not through the front door, but through the back door, up the side, up the back stairs, into the kitchen, straight to Guy, bang out the slab. Guy, you got to try this butter, this girl, blah, blah, blah. Like, straight to the source. Like, if you try and get an interview with, you know, a meeting time or something with these
super
chefs.
Super hard.
You can't do it.
No.
So, once again, went into this place called Gimlet, and I'm like, what is Gimlet? And walk in the front door, and Simon said, so you've got some butter on you, and I sort of dug into the bottom of my handbag and had this sort of
bottom of your handbag,
few hour old butter sitting in my bottom of my handbag.
Yeah, right.
And pulled it out. Simon and Andrew McConnell comes out and just grabs a teaspoon off the coffee machine, rips the top off the butter, and scoops it straight into his mouth, and just looks at me and goes, "This is the best butter. Sign me up." I'm like, Simon goes, You've just been critiqued. And I said, what? Who is he? And, you know, same with Vudemont. Straight up the lift, straight up the back door.
Yeah.
And Hugh Allen has been great. Mm-hmm. And it's only through connections. So it's, you know, just once again, just feeling very privileged.
Yeah. Do you kind of feel the same? I kind of, when we're talking to Kevin and him talking, being proud about seeing his milk on shelves and stuff like that. Is it the same sort of feeling when you'll go into these, you know, to these restaurants for the first time and know them or not? The same, you get the same feedback, right? This is incredible. I've got to have it. There's no talk about price. It's just talk about quality, because these people are about quality. Does that sort of make you feel obviously proud, but does it make you know you're going down the right path?
Certainly does. And then, you know, giving that feedback, you know, to our factory staff that are on the floor every day doing what they do, and then coming back to the farm and saying, you know what, guys, your product is having accolades from top chefs in Melbourne.
Yes.
Like, it is, it's just qualifying what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes back to raw ingredient, because we really don't add much to it, you know.
Mm.
We add some Mount Zero salt and some culture, and we churn it, and It's the yellow, amazing creaminess and richness that other companies can't have, because we are fully 100% Jersey herds.
Mm.
There's only 14% Jersey herds in Australia.
Wow.
So that's sort of like a rare thing.
Yes.
But yes, going back to your question, Sean, seeing Gippsland Jersey butter on the menu.
Yes.
Gives me a little bit of a heart palpitation. Oh, my goodness. We've made it. You know, like, it's good, because we're so new on the scene, you know.
Yeah.
And it's very validating.
Mm.
And respectful of those companies. So,
yes.
Because it goes back to farmers. You know, we just happen to be this conduit in between that's sort of making it happen. But I think, you know, lots of farmers would love to value add to what they're doing because, you know, they have all the power, you know, yeah. And that's what happened when we saw the dairy crisis. Like, from an eagle looking down, it's like, oh, all you dairy farmers, get together, collaborate,
yeah,
you know, ban up, speak out. But the problem is so many farmers are so just time poor. They are, there is, they have to do all the work themselves, that there's no time to get out and talk to your neighbours and go to rallies and beat on politicians' doors. Yeah. You know, that's the reality.
Be on a podcast unless we turn up in your house.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, I think, you know, we go back to the days of Bill Pyle. He's a real legend and had the phone line to the Prime Minister to make changes and to have the voice of the farm. So I don't know if we've lost touch, but, you know, it's so disrespectful that the price of milk hasn't gone up in all of these years where we're still paying such a low price, but yet you'll still go and fill up your car at the petrol station and happy to pay however many cent dollars it is for to fill up your car. Milk, it's a staple. We all need to drink milk. And when we did meet with Woolies, because we are in two major supermarkets, and being green and not, you know, I guess being unschooled in this state, so like it's, we just say things we think, right? We're not a little bit uncensored. And when we met with Woolies a couple of years ago and we said, wow, well, this is the price, and they're like, okay, okay, they didn't, and to their credit, they just went, yes, they didn't.
Wow.
They did not question it. They said, because of the values, right?
Yeah.
We are staying firm, and Steve and I both said, if they're not going to come to the party, then we're not going there.
Yes.
Like, we have to have some self-respect, not just for ourselves and our brand, but for the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're flying the flag for here.
Yeah.
And in that meeting, we said to the guy, the local sourcing manager, said, oh, and, you know, thank you for the opportunity. And can we just say, I said, can I just say that I think that $1 milk is totally disrespectful to the dairy farmers, and we would encourage you to pull that off your shelf. And Steve was kicking me under the table going, like, do you want the freaking deal or not? You know, like, you know, just anyway, we've got there and we are so grateful, and I think that has what has enabled us to stand firm in the pan, you know, during this hard time as well, the fact that we do have supermarket facings.
Yes.
And that we can still keep, you know, these farmers on board because, you can't turn a cow off.
It's very true. Needs to be milked.
It needs
to be milked.
That's right. And that is the hard thing. You know, dairy is very hard. You've got 14, you know, you've got a limited shelf life on milk.
Yep.
It doesn't hold. You can't shelve it. So it's pretty intense kind of industry to be in.
Yeah, for sure. I've noticed since I knew we were going to do the podcast but following you guys before that as well, like your people win inside, you know, the factory and that kind of stuff as you're processing the milk are a large part of what you guys talk about. And I think, you know, that point of difference as well. Like, why did you decide to focus on that? Especially because it is usually really, really funny. I saw some people dancing in the factory the other week. Why has that been important to talk about?
It comes down to both Steve and I share the same values and we value people.
Yes.
And without people, we can't do anything. So it's just natural. Like, it's not intentional, really. If I'm walking around the factory and I'm like, oh, there's Pam. You know, she loves music. She loves pumping the music and singing really loudly. And it sounds like a nightclub most days in there. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to share this with on our little platform to the people that follow us to give them an insight into what they do and to value those people. And I think everyone wants to be seen. Everyone wants to be heard. And, you know, a 20-second clip on Instagram, I don't know. It just, one, it might entertain someone. Two, it, you know, who knows? I don't know. Kevin's just, I've just Instagram storied you guys here on the farm. How does it make you feel, Kev? Like, just seeing yourself on the gram. He loves it.
I never thought I'd be on
there. He's on the gram. He loves the gram. But, you know, that's how we communicate these days, and we go behind the farm gate because so many people do not get into a factory or get onto a farm. So,
100%.
You know, one of my little, I guess, intentions is to educate people and to say, well, this is where your money's going. These are the people you're supporting. This is putting putting bread and butter on their table.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose my last question to you is, like, what are you planning for the future? I mean, we're talking about a brand that's growing and you've been around for 5 years now. You're like, you're obviously doing really well. You're not compromising on price to make sure you're looking after your supply chain. You're in great quality restaurants. You're in great quality, you know, supermarkets and other suppliers and cafes and that kind of stuff. Like, what do you want to do next? Do you want to grow the brand? Do you know, you're pretty happy with how things are right now?
I've got my dad's ice cream recipe.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yes.
So definitely more products.
Okay.
More value added products. We'd love to extend what we're doing with that.
Okay.
And, you know, I maybe dabble in some export stuff.
Wow.
We have some interest with, you know, people saying, oh, we'd love to get a brand with provenance
right.
and quality, obviously.
Yeah.
So we are going through that stage of getting export accredited.
Wow. Because I imagine Southeast Asia would be a big market for your product, right?
Yeah, we'll hit Singapore probably first. Yep. I think, you know, look, it's scary.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're green, so we've got no idea what we're doing. But we'll just, you know, open one little door to the next and hopefully that it'll work out. And I guess it's just we can dominate more in fresh milk, you know. Why should there be fridges of, you know, interstate milk and foreign-owned milk on the milk shelves when we've got it in our backyards?
Yeah.
You know, Melbourne has how many millions of people? It's like, okay, guys, we just want to inspire and encourage people to pay those few cents extra.
Yeah.
That keeps our money in our own backyard.
Yes.
And that's what we've seen in this pandemic. It's let's look after our own people, because all of the milk on those milk shelves, folk, is foreign-owned.
Yeah.
Those profits aren't staying in Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
So read your labels of origin and do your research and support local.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Especially coming out of the challenges of last year, I think. Obviously, the appetite is to support local when we can, so I hope that continues on. I'm sure it is with brands like yourself, because it's so obvious how it changes things. Sally, what's the best way that people can find out about Gippsland Jersey?
On the gram. No. Look, feel free if you've got any questions, you can find my phone number on the website.
Yep.
gippslandjersey.com.au.
Cool.
Instagram, Facebook and Twitter.
Cool. As always, linked up in the show notes of this podcast, Sally Jones, Kevin, thanks for hosting us. Thanks so much for being on the podcast today, guys.
Our absolute privilege. Thank you.
Sweet. Thanks again for tuning into another episode of Principle of Hospitality, the podcast. We hope you really enjoyed this episode. Please comment, like, and share this podcast with your friends in the industry. We're making this content with the industry in mind, so we'd really appreciate you sharing it along with those that you care about in the industry. Thanks as well to our sponsor, Chef's Hat, the largest family-owned and operated hospitality supplier in Australia. They strive to inspire cooks, chefs, bakers and bartenders to deliver the best product with the best tools every day. We're so proud to partner with them. That's where the industry shops. And if you don't know us at Poe, Sash, my co-founder from Principal Design, has one of the best design agencies in Australia. So if you're looking for anything around strategy, branding, digital design and graphic design, then you can find them at principaldesign.com.au. And myself at Open Pantry Consulting for anything to do with hospitality operations, strategy and recruitment. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks to Chef's Hat for supporting us. And until next time, stay safe. Cheers.